The other day, I was going for a drink, to buy a drink. I'm standing there, and a person comes up to me. He says to me, "You Jewish?" I said, "Yes, I'm Jewish, wearing a kippah." He said, "You're the chosen one." So when somebody says you're the chosen one, already we're getting a bit worried. It does say in the Torah that Am Yisrael, the Jewish nation, is a chosen nation, but it's understood by other nations that are, we're chosen, we're better. No, that's not the correct reason we're chosen. We are chosen in the fact that we've got a mission. This is our mission. Our mission is to bring godliness to the earth. Our mission is to connect to the higher worlds, to the spiritual worlds, is to be a representation of God Almighty in this world and to bring unity and peace to the entire world. That's how we are chosen, chosen in that kind of a mission, in to serve God. But in, when you're taking a drink and somebody else is asking you, you know, you just gotta diffuse the situation. And that's what it was. But it kind of got me thinking, are we really chosen and how are we acting? Let me speak to you a little bit about who was chosen in Jewish history. Let's take a look at the chosen individuals in Jewish history. There was an Abraham, an Avraham Avinu. Abraham, the first person that seems to be chosen to be spoken to by God Almighty. Okay, Yitzchak and Yaakov, they grew up in a family where their father already was spoken, but Avraham, his father was worshipping idols. In fact, he owned an idol shop. He was a priest for idols. So Abraham is called Abraham HaIvri, Avraham HaIvri, because Ivri, Hebrew means, what does Hebrew mean? It means over, means going on to the other side. The whole world was going in one direction of worshipping idols, and Avraham was going in the other direction of worshipping God Almighty. How easy was it for Avraham to do such a thing? It must have been close to impossible. His father, society, everybody was on one side and he was on the other, but he believed in the course. And you know what? When you believe in something, when you're by yourself and you believe in something, then God gives you a blessing. Let's move on. Yaakov, he has 12 children. Of his 12 children, one of them is called a Bechor. Bechor in Hebrew means firstborn. We come across it quite a few times in the Torah. We said that the Am Yisrael, the Jewish nation, we're called God's chosen people, but we're also called Bini Bechori Yisrael, my firstborn Israel. How are we God's firstborn? Have you ever thought about that comment? Firstborn means that there is another child, a second, a third, potentially a fourth. We don't find that. Does God say that he's got other children? Does he really? And what does it mean by being the firstborn? Were we really the people that were born first? Is there a second born, a third born? What's going on? Our rabbis tell us, Bnei Bechori Yisrael. Whenever you come across that statement, it means a bechor, a firstborn, doesn't necessarily mean the first to be born. It means when they are by themselves, they know how to handle things by themselves, and they know how to perfect things and to go higher and higher in the service of Hashem. And let me give you an example. Yaakov has 12 children. His firstborn is called Reuven. That's the first physical son. In Judaism, if you have a firstborn, the firstborn gets a double portion. Who got the double portion out of all the 12 tribes? And it wasn't Reuven. Reuven sinned. He messed around with the beds. He sinned. He didn't get it. Who gets the firstborn? Yosef. Yosef? Yosef is the 11th child. How does Yosef get the firstborn? Yaakov himself was born second, right? He had to hold on to the calf, onto the foot of Esav. But he gets the Bechorah, he gets to be called the firstborn. Yosef is the 11th child and he gets to be called the firstborn. What's happening over here? And the answer is Reuven lost it. Now it's up for grabs. The brothers gang up against Yosef. They chuck him in a pit, they sell him to Egypt, and God says, "Now, when you're alone, I want to see how you act." If, when you are alone in the dark and you're getting chucked, And you lost your dad, you lost your brothers. You're in Egypt with many unknowns. And you keep your faith and you keep strong and you keep very close to God Almighty. And then you will have the ability to become a Bechor. And that's what he did. He was in Egypt. He was in prison. And every time he was mentioning God, first year he was mentioning God, he became very successful, fantastic. And then what happened? Potiphar's wife wanted him, tried to seduce him, and he ended up going to jail for a sin that he didn't commit. For how long? For 12 years. He was 10 years and then another 2 years in jail. One would expect that's it. Forget God. Now's my time to go away. We know that when Jewish people have been through a lot of atrocities, when they were before religious, unfortunately, they go through atrocities. They say, thank you very much, God. Thank you. It's very kind of you, but I don't want anything to do with Judaism anymore. And I'm flying away as far as I can. But Yosef didn't do that. Yosef went and he said, I still believe in you, God. So eventually, when Yaakov is there giving out the blessings, he says, your two children, Yosef, Ephraim and Manasseh, are like Reuven and Shimon. Basically, you've got a double portion now. You've reached the Bechor. You get the Bechor. Fast forward. It comes to the time when the Jewish people have been in the land of Egypt for 210 years. And God Almighty wants to send a Savior, a Mashiach, a Messiah. Who is he going to send? Well, he's got good options on the team. He could send Aharon. Aharon is going to become the Kohen Gadol. He's the brother. He's the leader. He's the leader, the Jewish leader. Who's the chief rabbi in Egypt at the time? The great counselor. Who was leading the people for those 210 years or a lot of those 210 years? It was Aaron, Aharon. He was there. He was suffering and he was the leader. People looked up to him. But who does God choose? He chooses Moshe Rabbeinu. Why? Why does he choose Moshe? Because Moshe, he grew up in Paro's palace. He was alone. He could have chose royalty, could have become the prince of Egypt. He could have chilled, eaten nice foods, get served, had the ladies, had the nice service, had everything that people dream about, and the food and the houses and the villas and the royalty, fantastic. But what did he do? It says he goes out one day and he's looking at his brothers. He's looking, vayar besivlotam, he's looking at their hardship. He can't take it. It's in his kishkas. He can't take it that his brothers and sisters are suffering. He goes out and he sees an Egyptian whipping and destroying a Jewish person. He kills the Egyptian. The next day, two Jews are fighting. He says, what's going on? They say to him, we're going to talk to Paro about you. Leave us alone. Who do you think you are? And he runs away. And where does he run away? For years. He ran away for years. Decades. He's run away. So you would expect after a few decades, he's been chased away by the people that he tried to help. So forget them. Who's these people? Forget their God. Forget these people. What kind of a matzav, what kind of a situation, how religious are these people anyway? They're saying Lashon Hara about each other. They're fighting each other. What do I want to get involved with this nation? I was a prince. I had to run away. I got chased. I forget God, he could say. But what does he do? He stays with his belief and his emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, constant emunah despite the challenges, so much so that God says, you're going to be the one. Not Aaron, who's there amongst the people and he has the daily challenges, but he's surrounded. He's got the religious community. You by yourself and you're still keeping close to Hashem. I want you to come and redeem the people. And when he sends Moshe to redeem the people, how does he send him? He gives him three signs. Three signs. What are the signs that he gave him? Sign number one, he tells him, take your stick, chuck it down, and it's going to become into a snake. Sign number two, he says, take your hand, put it in, take it out, and it's white. Put it back in, come out, and it's perfected. Sign number three, water is going to turn into blood. If they don't believe you, the first sign, the second sign, third sign, they're going to believe you. What are these signs telling us? The signs are telling us, a snake, and a stick. You know, you see snakes, said HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe Rabbeinu, but you don't realize. Put your hand out, pick it up. What do you get? You get a stick. The real essence is not the snake. The real Jew is not evil. The real Jew is pure, is tahor. But sometimes they go into the muck. When they get into the muck, their surroundings, the technological error, in all the tests and tribulations, they become a little bit of a snake. But what they need is somebody to hold them. And once you hold them, become a stick. They become upright. They become Israel, Yashar. That's why our rabbis tell us, Aseh lecha rav, make yourself a rabbi, vistalek min hasafek, and get rid of any doubt. Become part of a community. Don't take it on the outside. Become part of the community. The second thing that happens, he says to him, the Jewish people, you know, they're sick. They're speaking Lashon Hara. He said, take the Lashon Hara that you're talking about. You stick it in over here. Take it out. It becomes pure. A person who can get Sarat, a person can get Sarat for generations and he can't get out of it. No, no, there's a way out. Yisrael me'al ha-mazal. The Jewish people are above the mazal. You've got to keep connected. And the third sign is water gets turned into blood. Water, is it cold or hot? When it comes in the stream, it's cold. Blood is hot, is warm. How do you turn somebody? They're cold. They're not going to change. They're freezing. Yeah, that's how they are. When you're freezing like this, can't move. No, no, no. You're going to see. The little bit of application is going to turn into warmth. All you need is to add warmth, simcha, happiness to your mitzvot, and you elevate everything. Moshe Rabbeinu is chosen because despite his bini b'chori, you are considered like my b'chor. In fact, the whole story of the coming out of Egypt sends us this message. We look at the daughter of Paro. She also grew up in the palace of Paro. She crazy. Our rabbis tell us that she wanted to convert to become Jewish, meaning a servant of the one God. There was no Judaism at the time until Matan Torah. Batya, the daughter of Paro, wanted to become Jewish. So what does she do? She goes to the river. And what does she see? If you look at the Torah, what does the Torah say? The Torah says she sees that there was a boy in the basket. And then it changes. Vihine na'ar boche. First the Torah calls it a yelet. And then it changes to a na'ar. Na'ar is a bit older. So one of the Mefarashim, they ask the question, what's this change? And they explain. When she went out that morning, what was she doing? She was deciding to become Jewish. She had Sarat, and she figured out something by herself. What did she figure out? My dad is Paro. He says he's the God of the world. Wow. She was the daughter of God. How would we feel with the daughter of God? It's fantastic. But she had a bit of a discrepancy. What's the discrepancy? So if my dad is the king of the entire world and he is the Lord, so why did he just put out an edict recently to kill all the firstborn boys of the Jewish, all the boys that are born to Jewish parents? What's he worried about? He's worried about a Jewish king that might come and destroy him, but he's the king of the world. He doesn't need to be worried. That's a sign that he's not really, he's not all that. Yes, when he walks to the River Nile, the River Nile comes up towards him and then we're all frightened. Wow. But he himself is frightened. He's not really a king. He's not really the Lord. So she said, who's the Lord? There's one good king of the world and I'm going to come and I'm going to join the Jewish nation. She comes to join the Jewish nation. God shows her Moshe, the little Moshe. She brings Moshe towards, as she's bringing, she sees a little baby crying. And within those seconds, you know what she notices? Vihine. Hine means suddenly. Nar. It became into a nar. That boy, she sees him growing and growing and growing and growing, and it becomes into a more mature person. She thought, what's going on over here? So much so that she could bring him back to Paro's palace without, like, because he looked much more mature. It doesn't, Paro wouldn't realize that the baby's coming to kill him. He was a bit more mature. He wasn't just a baby that Wow. Miracles upon miracles. This Bitya, as they call her, she merited to get rid of a tzaraat. She merited to get nevuah at that moment, prophecy at that moment. What caused her to get prophecy? What caused her to be called in Divrei HaYamim the mother of Moshe Rabbeinu? What caused her, as our Chachamim tell us, in Shamayim, she is the lady that is giving over the Torah. In Shamayim, she's the leader. What caused it? A little bit of thought, a little bit of understanding, and putting herself to one side. Society is going one way, but even though she's all alone, she's dedicated to Hashem. She became the real daughter of God Almighty. And that is really the message. You know, Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa was very poor. And his wife, at one stage, she said, "Listen, Habibi, we can't go on like this. They would eat little cherubs and this, and they didn't have proper food. You're the tzaddik of the whole world is relying. You're a tzaddik. The entire world's parnasa relies on you. No one really knows it. And we have got hardship at home." So she prayed, he prayed. And famous story, a nice leg of a table, golden leg of a table fell down from Shemaim, worth, I don't know, a good amount of money. Now they're rich. Problem was, she saw that if she's going to have this leg, then in Gan Eden, everybody was eating off. There's different gersot, but let's call it a four-legged table, and they would be eating off a three-legged table. When she saw that she's going to benefit in this world, is going to take away from her Olam Haba, her next world, which is eternal, she said, "I don't want it." And there was an even greater miracle when she was able to return the golden leg up to Shemaim, to the heavens. The Chatam Sofer says, "What's going on over here?" He says, "An incredible idea." He says, "In Judaism, we have four foundations. Four foundations. The first foundation is Torah. That is a pillar to our existence, the Torah, the Word of God. The second foundation and the second pillar is Avodah, is when we come to pray in front of God. That is our connection, a shaharit, a mincha, an arvit that we're doing on a daily basis, of speaking to God, wherever we are, in business, in the street. That is Avodah, we're working. And the third is gemilut chasadim, is being kind. There is a fourth. What's the fourth leg? What's the fourth pillar? The fourth pillar is savlanut, patience, being able, sovel, being able to withstand what's coming to us with patience and understanding there's a bigger picture. This lady, she received the fourth leg. You don't have patience, you want to receive it now, b'chavot, take the gold, enjoy it. But you know you're taking from Olam Haba. When she saw that, when she understood that, she said, "I'd rather have the patience. I've received the understanding. I understand the lesson now. I'd rather wait." Sometimes in life, we're on one side, but we should know when we're on that one side and we still believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is when we become the Bechor. That is when you become the firstborn. And that is why we are called the chosen people. We're called chosen because we're going to be throughout history in different parts, different lands, different places, different situations, mixing with the world, but with a light to shine, chosen with a mission to show God exists. No matter where you are, no matter what darkness you're in, God exists, God cares, God was, God is, and God will be. This is really the message of the Jewish nation. Within the word that we have for the Jewish nation, Yehuda, Yehuda from Judah, you have Yud, you have a Vav, and you have a He. That's God's name. And in the middle, you have a Dalet. The Dalet signifies Dalet, Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet, the fourth letter in the Hebrew alphabet, four corners of the earth, north, south, west, and east. And even the letter Dalet is written like that, to the east, to the west, to the north, to the south. We have to bring God Almighty around the world. We have to shine the light. And when we do that, Kadosh Baruch Hu's light is shone across the entire planet. Everybody is chosen. Everybody is God's child. Everybody is there. Everybody's got their own mission. But our mission is to take a candle and to light this candle and to light that candle and to make people aware that God exists and that we serve Hashem on a constant basis.